Baba Litwiska, thank you so much for joining us here on The Home Run. It's been 31 years since the Rebbe passed away, and yet his influence feels as alive as ever. Why do you think his presence still feels so present, even to people who never met him?
Thank you, Paula. Good afternoon. So nice to be with you again. And to be able to reflect on the Lubavitcher Rebbe and 31 years later, you know, there's no business institution that so many decades after having experienced something like a passing could possibly have any results so many years later. Mm. But the Rebbe, in fact, as we see, his influence, his impact so many decades later is so powerful and so strong. Late Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory once remarked about the Rebbe. He said that good leaders create followers, but great leaders create leaders. And that was, of course, what the Rebbe did. He created leaders, not only in the rabbis and the emissaries that he sent around the world, but the Rebbe saw the good in every single person and empowered them to be a leader. And so, yes, it's by no surprise that 31 years later, the Rebbe's message and Chabad Lubavitch as a whole is stronger and getting even stronger.
Let's bring it home. How do you see the Rebbe's vision playing out specifically here in South Africa today? Is there something unique about how Chabad here has embraced his vision?
So I think that the Rebbe's general message around the world, and certainly here in South Africa, is one of positivity. Over the very many difficult times here, specifically in South Africa, the Rebbe was always a voice of reason, a voice of blessing. When people were running for the hills, the Rebbe's advice was often sought, and the Rebbe very specifically indicated that South Africa is a good place for the Jewish people. I may be incorrect, but other than Israel, as an entire country, South Africa is the only other place that the Rebbe blessed as an entire country, that South Africa is good and will be good until the coming of Mashiach. But I think that it's really the South African Jew that the Rebbe was taken by. The South African Jew is a warm, receptive Jew. And I think that that made fertile ground to really take the Rebbe's message and influence.
And then just following on from that, as you said, it's often said that the Rebbe had a soft spot for South Africa and believed in our future. Can you speak to that connection and how it shaped Chabad's presence here in South Africa?
Sure. You know, in the early days of Chabad formally being in South Africa, in the early 70s and then into the 80s, there were precarious moments here in South Africa where the Rebbe's advice was sought and the Rebbe's positivity about South Africa, despite every other voice saying that it's impossible. I think that, there was a mirror. The Rebbe reflected, and South Africans reflected, South African Jews reflected, and certainly Chabad in South Africa took the Rebbe's blessing and said, we are here to stay until the coming of Mashiach, and therefore we put our fork in the ground and we move forward with dignity, with respect, with energy, and with joy.
The Rebbe passed away just weeks after South Africa's first democratic elections in April 1994. That's why it's 31 years and one day. Do we know if he was aware of this historic moment when we had our first democratic elections? And do we know how he viewed South Africa's path forward from then?
Well, interestingly, there's no doubt that the Rebbe knew that the trajectory that South Africa was headed to. But in February of 1990, when Nelson Mandela was released from prison, then there was the obvious concern what would happen in South Africa. And with the knowledge that there would be democratic elections, Rabbi Koppel Bacher of blessed memory had written into the Rebbe requesting a blessing and sought advice on how to guide South Africans. And as he came past the Rebbe, and it's actually available on video, the Rebbe gave him a dollar, as the Rebbe would often do, to give to charity. And then the Rebbe called him back and said to him, that which you asked me about South Africa, you should tell them that there is nothing to worry about. South Africa will be good, is good. And that was on the day itself that Mandela was released from prison. So there's no doubt that the Rebbe kept abreast of everything that was going on a geopolitical level.
Amazing. And many people remember the Rebbe as a giant of Torah and mysticism, but also someone deeply practical and forward-thinking. How does Chabad today balance those two sides of his legacy? So on the one side, Torah and mysticism, and on the other side, practical and forward-thinking.
So ultimately, everything is rooted in Torah, and that's what we believe deeply as the Jewish people. And so therefore, they are one and the same. Everything that the Rebbe impacted the world with practically came from a Torah premise, came from Torah's teachings. Torah was well, well ahead of its time. So there was a very clear link between the Rebbe's mysticism, the Rebbe's Torah study, the Rebbe's Torah teaching, and practically. The Rebbe could always create a link between current affairs and Torah. So they were one and the same.
Rabbi, you've grown up and served within the Chabad system. On a personal level, how has the Rebbe shaped your own life and rabbinic journey, even though you were so young when he passed?
In 1972, my parents, Rabbi Mendel and Mashi Lipska, had the privilege of being the Rebbe's first emissaries to South Africa. And so growing up in a home which was imbued with the Rebbe's message, imbued with the Rebbe's love, you know, our table on a Friday night was full. Our table on Chagim was full. So my entire life and upbringing was with this message of the Rebbe. Interestingly, I personally never met the Rebbe. It was my family's custom that either for a bar or bat mitzvah, my parents would take them to the Rebbe. And I was 8 years old on the 3rd of Tammuz in 1994. But it's shaped my entire life. It's everything that I grew up with. My parents, while being the staunch Chabad and proud practicing Jews that they are, gave us the opportunity to explore and to do what we had to do. But this was the upbringing that I was brought up with and inspired by. And certainly from a very young age, on my own accord, this was everything that I was ever going to be involved in.
Rabbi, if the Rebbe was physically here today, 31 years later, what message do you think he'd want South African Jewry, especially the next generation, to hear most clearly?
It's a fascinating question, and to sum it up in a moment would be a challenge. But I think that even if you hear how the Rebbe spoke 40 years ago about Israel and Israel's strength, one could really look at the Rebbe's message throughout the years and apply it here and now. I think that the Rebbe would encourage us to continue to do acts of kindness, to do as many mitzvot as we can, to inspire one another. But ultimately, the Rebbe loved the Jewish people. And therefore, the Rebbe would inspire us to truly care for one another, to uplift the world around us. Yes, to live in this physical world and to enjoy this physical world, but everything that we do, to imbue it with a sense of spirituality, to uplift it, and really be to be doers of good, acts of goodness and kindness.